from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. If you would like to read there with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And amen. The other night during the play, Caleb and Clay's little girl was sitting near us, and sometimes she sat on my lap, my wife's lap, Sister Helen's lap, sat in the floor, and like little kids do. And she said one time, she said, "I know Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus are supposed to come out sometime during this play." Amen. But she said they hadn't come out yet. Well, you know, really everything we do as a church really is all about Jesus. It really is, isn't it? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me, on a Savior of sinners. A Savior of sinners. Now, all of us who are saved here tonight ought to find that a great cause of rejoicing. Surely we haven't been saved so long that we're not quite grateful like we used to be, are we? Surely it should be that we have become more grateful because we have explored, like Brother Danny talked about. He said there was a fear when he first got saved. And then after he got to thinking about what Jesus went through for him to be saved, there became a love that brought him closer to the Lord. And I believe that a lot of us could testify the same thing. When I first got saved, I was scared to death of hell. And it's good to have a healthy fear of hell. Amen. I'm telling you, it really is. But after a while, it wasn't just because I was afraid of going to hell that I served the Lord. I served Him because I fell in love with Him and got in His presence. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and found the wonderful privilege of prayer and the great blessings of God and all the good things that He'd done for me time after time. And I fell in love with this wonderful Savior. But isn't it great that He's a Savior of sinners? In all reality, the world doesn't do things like that. No, the world rewards the best and the brightest. I mean, if IBM goes into college and wants somebody to be exalted into their CEO or someplace up in the high part of their business, they don't look for somebody that's just of the lower part of that class. They look for the brightest people, the hardest working people, and they reward those that are smartest. Amen. The same way, just about anything that you can think of, they don't go into Falk High School and say, "Boy, we're just going to give scholarships to everybody." That's not the way that it is. But you know what? When Jesus came into this world, He didn't come in and say, "I'm looking for the most righteous to save." Because even the most righteous isn't worthy of being saved. They're not. None of us really are worthy of being saved. And He didn't come and say, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to look for the most loving." And the most loving that the world has ever seen has come short somewhere. They've been selfish sometime, done something foolish, got angry without a cause, done something. But I'm going to look for the most loving, kind person that this world is, and I'm going to save them. He didn't do that. He said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to save sinners." And that's the worst and the best. And they all needed the same price paid. Every one of us. We all did. Amen. Those that got saved of a child, those that got saved in their teens, those that got saved later on in life, we all had to have the same price. Jesus had to come into this world and save sinners. Oh, we ought to all rejoice, shouldn't we? The Bible says Jesus even testified of this, and He said, amen, that that he that's forgiven much loveth much. And I'll just tell you right now, since it costs the same thing for everybody to be saved, I have to say that there's a little bit of perception there, don't you think? Amen. I have to say there's a little bit of perception there. In other words, we just have to figure out that it took a whole lot to forgive us all. Amen. If you're going to judge forgiveness by the price that was paid, it took a whole lot to forgive us all, every one of us. Amen. It took the death of Jesus upon the cross. And if it took that much to forgive me or the smallest child, let me tell you something. We all ought to love a whole lot. Amen. Glory be to God. The problem is there are some people just like Paul realize how much they've been forgiven. I'm the chiefest of sinners, he says. I'm the worst. I'm the worst of them all. Amen. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Amen. Really, when you get a good view of your sin, you can say that. You can almost feel hopeless if God takes back the curtain and lets you really see your sin and how wicked it is in comparison to how holy God is. The fact of the matter is, all have sinned. And what's the standard? Come short of what? The glory of God. Let me tell you something. If you hadn't lived up to the glory of God, you are not a good person. Amen. Amen. I feel like we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And praise the name of Jesus. He came to save sinners, not just the best people in the world, not the most loving people in the world, but sinners, all of. Does that include everybody? I'll tell you, that includes all people. Drunkards, amen, and somebody that's never drunk. Drug addicts, and someone that's never been addicted to anything. Amen. Hateful people, loving people, but every type of person is included in that, in the fact that Jesus came to save sinners. One night, you know, I got saved when I was 15. Even at that, I never drank. I never was addicted to smoking, at least. And I never did a lot of things that this world does. And I was out at the prison at the Telford unit, and I was talking about how I regretted my sin. And I guess I must have really... I was feeling it, I know, but there was a prisoner came up, and I knew he's kind of rough and stuff, and he said, I looked around, I said to the fellow, I said, what could that guy done? Said, he may have went out and drank a few beers, done a few things like that, but what in the world could that guy have done to act like that? I tell you what. Anybody that feels really what sin is, and look at the great price that Jesus had to pay for my sin, your sin. Let me tell you something. It's not a small thing. No sin's small. It really isn't. Amen. I had an uncle one time, and he'd always talk about, well, it's hard for me to repent because I've never really done anything wrong. Let me tell you something. I could have listed a few things for him. Amen. He wouldn't have listened to me at all. But that's the way that he felt about it. I tell you, if you don't feel like you ever had any sin, you don't have anything to ask forgiveness for. Oh, I tell you, if you feel the weight of your sin, if you feel like you're the greatest of sinners, I tell you, that makes Jesus the greatest of saviors. Amen. If you feel like, if you're under conviction to the point it's almost hopeless, let me tell you, there is hope because Jesus came to save sinners. There was a fellow one time, I read his story back when that they were smuggling Bibles into communist lands. And he was having problems. He was so under conviction, so miserable, he couldn't hardly stand it. As that he was getting on a bus, a drunk wandered on. And I can't remember exactly how the conversation went, but he got in a little argument with the drunk, and he said something about, well, God couldn't love somebody as miserable as me. And the drunk said, wait a second, are you a sinner? The man said, yes. He said, well, the Lord came to save sinners. And out of the mouth of a drunk man, that guy got hope and went and got saved and became a smuggler of Bibles into the communist lands and done an amazing work, really. I can't remember his name right now. But the truth of the matter is, aren't you glad? Hey, man, Jesus came as a savior of sinners. To a certain extent, that doesn't make sense. That's not the way we do things in this world. And that's why I know this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying because this is not a fictional thing. This is something that's true. Amen. God invented this story. He planned it. He perfected it in the fullness of time. God sent for this son made of a woman born of a virgin to redeem us. Amen. This is too fantastic for any man to think of it and invent it. Oh, we've got inventions and fairy tales where people that are good are rewarded, where folks that somehow have merited things, amen, get some type of special power or riches or redeemed in the end. I'll tell you, this is a story that man couldn't make up because this is not a part of our world. This is not what we see. This is completely different than anything we witness. Amen. God, who is all holy, beyond our wildest dreams, beyond our imagination, sent his only begotten son to pay such an amazing price to save sinners, all sinners, good sinners, bad sinners, according to our standard. Hey, man, that's a faithful saying. Hey, man, that's too wild to be false. Amen. Amen. That shows it's a story made up from another world. That didn't come from the mind of a man. No. Amen. It's also faithful. It's documented in a historical way. I'm not going to get involved. I was just reading the other day how that this fellow went through several ancient accounts of histories and showed where the history documented things about Jesus. Some people were critical of him, and some people actually lifted him up. Even Josephus, a Jewish historian that rode with the general that went in and destroyed Jerusalem. Amen. He recorded Jesus's death and resurrection and how they did miracles. And even called him the Christ. And unbelievers say, oh, somebody added that to Josephus's writings. But there's not one manuscript ever been found anywhere that doesn't have that in it. Amen. I think they believe in fairy tales. Amen. This is the truth. This is a faithful saying. This is real. Not because Josephus said it, but because the Word of God tells it. And it's not only a faithful saying, but it's worthy of all acceptation. We ought to accept it with all of our hearts. I know it's true because there's nothing else that people can believe like this that changes folks' lives, that'll take them out of drug addictions, gambling addictions, put their marriages back together again, do the miraculous in healing their minds and their bodies and healing their souls. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is worthy to accept. This is worthy to lift up. This is worthy to open wide your heart and say, this is what I want. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon, amen, had went to a place in London. I think they called it the Crystal Tabernacle, but I'm not sure, to preach a message. And he went over and was testing out the acoustics. Meanwhile, while he was testing out the acoustics and standing there and quoting some scriptures, and amen, there was a fellow working out on construction on a high rise not far from the Crystal Tabernacle there. And he had been under conviction for a long time, miserable in his spirit and soul. Amen. And he just took his lunch break and was setting up there way up high. And all of a sudden, the booming voice of C.H. Spurgeon went out and said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Amen. That fella didn't know where that voice was a coming through from. It just bounced everywhere. Amen. It's going everywhere down the streets. And Spurgeon, you know, they didn't have PA systems and stuff. He was just in there checking out to see how his voice would carry before a crowd got in there. And he quoted the scripture again. All of a sudden, that construction worker said, "That's what I needed to hear." And he fell on his face up there on that beam. Amen. And prayed through and got right with God. Amen. And found out later what had happened. I'll tell you, God had a way of getting his message across to that man. The question is, will we accept it? I know that practically everybody here tonight has accepted the fact that Jesus is a savior of sinners. But if you're here tonight and you have not accepted that fact, amen, you need to accept it here tonight. Amen. These testimonies of his wonder and his grace and his life-changing power. It's not an accident that you're here. I just want you to understand that we have a Savior, and he doesn't put, amen, any lines and say, "Well, you got to be this rich. You got to pass this IQ test. Amen. You got to be this good." No. Amen. All you got to be is a sinner. Amen. A sinner. If you're a sinner, he came to save you. He came into this world to save you. He came into this church to save you. He came into this message to save you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, glory. Amen. And while we're gathered here tonight on this Saturday night, it could be a life-changing event. Why? Because we're Fairland Holiness Church. That was Jesus. Amen. Could we all stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, my little message here tonight, I have tried to preach in order to try to lift up Christ as Savior. I'm asking that you'd move in a special way, that you draw people to Jesus. Us who are saved, help us to be more grateful, more thankful. And I pray, dear Lord, that others who are not saved would be drawn to Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. For thy glory, Lord. Amen. While heads are bowed, I want to just ask you, if you're here tonight lost, why don't you come to the Lord? You come right now. He came real quick for you. Amen. Step out right now and come to the Lord. He evidently is not tired of reaching for you. Amen. Come on. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to Stephen last night as I was putting him to bed, I said, "Son, you know God loved you so much that he gave Jesus for you. And this is Christmas time. That's God's gift to you. What are you going to give to him?" He said, "I'm going to give him all my heart." Well, don't you think he's gave and gave and gave? It's about time he received all your heart here tonight. Glory to God. Raise your hands one more time. Let's ask God to move in a special way. Lord, have your way. I praise you for your blessing. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Sing a little bit of that, honey. Amen. Oh, yes, you may want to sing some of this, too. If you want to get right with God, come on. Amen. Yeah, come on.
Than houses and land.
Oh, yes. You're here tonight lost. Come on to the Lord. riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus
than houses or land. I'd rather be led
by his nail-pierced hand. This altar, let's thank him for being a Savior for us, a Savior for all of us. Come on, let's seek him. Sinner friend, you are sure welcome to come with us, to pray with us, to seek the Lord with us. Come on. Come on and be saved. Come on and get right. Oh, yes. I'd rather have Jesus. Lord.